Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host.
So Dishram was not as pissed off as he was last night, so let's see how this one goes.
Yeah, also, why weren't we doing this last night? Well, not only was it Labor Day, right, which we should all remember, it was also my birthday, Matt Marrero. So we just decided to enact the whole Labor Day thing and not...
Matt gets
do
a night
labor.
Off for his birthday, for fuck's sake. I mean, that's it. That's all the explanation people need. I mean,
I know.
Because believe me,
you know, I had the night off, you know, I'm not saying that, like, you know, my, like, everyone should be off on my birthday or anything. Like, I'm not saying that my birthday is, like, a national holiday or anything.
You know,
in no way am I
here,
saying,
Matt?
What?
Do you remember what my birthday is?
In November.
Right.
Oh, thank God.
My birthday is November 11th. In America, that's Veterans Day. I've got you beat.
All right, well, you know what?
Hilarious because you're just like, it's a national holiday. And I'm like, well, why is it not a national holiday? But if you want to talk patriotism, I mean... Patriots.
Let's not toot our own horns here or anything.
Fucking hell, this is why you wanted to use the soundboard tonight. How many do you have lined up?
Only one more, and this one's obvious because, I mean, it was my birthday yesterday,
Just get it out of the way.
Happy birthday to you.
That's it.
That wasn't bad, Kali. That wasn't bad.
No, that actually was not Kali.
I know.
Okay.
But if you look hard enough, you can actually find the audio of Kali singing
that
happy
would have
birthday.
Been, that would have been smarter. I got that from Kamen Rider Oz. I think I've told you about the one character who just always loves to celebrate people's birthdays, and he's like the owner of a corporation. So whenever he can, he's just always decorating birthday cakes.
That's a colorful character. I'll accept that.
Kamen Rider
would be worth a nice podcast one day.
Oh, yeah, it would. And he just screams in English, you know, whenever he wants to just, you know, just like, oh, hey, how's it going? He was like, happy birthday! And it's just like, and everyone's just like, oh.
Totally makes
sense. Yeah. So anyway, so tonight what we are doing is Monday Night Raw. I mean,
sound like you're hacking.
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you, Vince. We're doing Monday Night Raw, and of course, speaking of Raw, we always have to talk about the WWE Network, which, how much is the WWE Network's a dish?
$6.66.
Yes, it is. Wait a minute. I think that's probably right if you're watching upside down. If you're a child who's just sitting on your couch, just like, praise Satan, you know,
matches are much more entertaining upside down.
I think it's the blood rushing to your head.
That might be it.
Anyway, so we're talking about the network. Why? Because WCW Nitro, which does have to do with Raw because there was that whole Monday Night War thing, is now on the network. And they actually have the first...
Matt?
It is. No, they have
is
the first 2 years.
Is episode 1 on the network? Is episode
what?
1 on the network?
Well, no, actually. Episode 79 to 144.
That's interesting.
Now,
and why don't
now,
we have episode 1, Matt?
Well, if everyone's confused and they're wondering, but wait, Matt, what happened to episode 1? Well, don't you worry. When you click on episode 79, if you were alive around the time WCW Monday Night Nitro first started airing, you'll see that that is number 1.
But that doesn't make sense.
Neither does Saturday Night's main event going from like, hey, look, it's 25, 26, 40, 28, 29. And mind you, 40 isn't like, oh, they jumped to the future and they took, you know, one of the newer Saturday Night Main Events and they threw it on there. No, 40 has Jake the Snake on it and, according to the dates, is in perfect chronological order.
So what you're telling me is that by paying for this service,
right,
I'm still paying for glitches in America, even though we were their test people and they've had time to correct that?
I don't know what you're talking about. The Shield, as a faction, right, as a brand, is much older. You know, I mean, well, technically around the same time as the Four Horsemen. You know, much older than Evolution, much older than D-Generation X. Because when did they wrestle, Satish?
From what I last saw on the network, December
right.
31st, 1969. And
if
I have to be honest with you, Matt.
Right.
One of these days, like, I just sat down and I was so upset because so much wrestling happened on December 31st, 1969.
And sadly, we're just 90s kids. Sadly.
Yeah, I feel really hurt that I couldn't watch CM Punk wrestle on December 31st, 1969. And on the same night, there was Hulk Hogan. And on the same night, there was Rey Mysterio. And on the same night, there was so much going on, Matt.
I
mean,
I would argue
Trish Stratus, Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, Ric Flair, Jeff Hardy, all on the same card in one night.
I would argue that if Hulk Hogan is on the card, it may not be a glitch. They may have actually asked him what he remembers. And he said, "Let me tell you something, brother. December 31st, 1969, Rey Mysterio Jr.
See,
along with the
only
entire..."
Because
what?
Hulk has horrible stories of his memory of touting himself up, and I can imagine him sitting there, December 31st, 1969, he says that he, you know, conquered four men. Like, but Hulk, you weren't wrestling then. That doesn't matter, brother.
No, it's really bad.
I can't fathom how many matches, I think. And there are some other weird glitches, too. I think that December 31st, 1969 is the funniest one for me. What I'm referring to is on the PS3 WWE Network app, and this is something, you know, I know we're going to talk about Raw, but it's relevant to talk about the network. The glitch is that for a lot of random matches, and nowhere are they related to, which is why I find this difficult, the dates of the matches are listed completely wrong, and they all say December 31st, 1969. And as Matt joked with me beforehand, he said some kind of Y2K glitch. It's weird because,
a week ago, Matt, I was going to say
it's Solomon Crowe's fault, but it's not Solomon Crowe's fault because they changed his gimmick. So whose fault is it? Apparently people who actually get paid to do this stuff, while you and I sit here and look on and wonder why people get paid to do this stuff, and we get to sit here and mock them.
Yeah, and believe me, it's not like it's something that I think anyone can do, which, you know, is like closed captions, because I believe closed captions is something that almost anyone can do. I mean, it's just taking what they're saying, using something, like AG Sub, to put them on the screen, and maybe condensing it. Although I have to say, after seeing old closed caption stuff, they don't condense it like they do Main Event, or new, you know, the newer stuff, because the newer stuff looks like they have like live captions. Anyway, what's my point? My point is, it's not something like that. It's something that you have to have a skill to end up doing. You know, I assume it's not just you put the four there and the zero there, and then that's the name of the episode. No, you actually have to have skill. So I want to know who they're paying, and who are they paying so little that they're being pissed off? Because it has to be a pissed-off retaliation. They can't just be paying people to put in, you know, the wrong information.
And that being said, pay me less, and I will do his job better. Putting that out there. I'm just saying. I have 30 cents in my bank account. Pay me less, and I will do his job better.
I have a strange feeling that you're kind of putting yourself over a bit here. But all right, 30 cents, sure.
Do you want screenshot proof?
Yes, and put your social security. What's really funny is I think if you put all your bank information on there, no one would clean you out. You would actually gain money. People would feel really bad for you. Be like, donate to Satish.
Who would clean out 30 cents? People would mock me. Be like, this is the guy that does the podcast? He has 30 cents? Wow, that must not be doing... Yeah, just stick to your day job, Satish. I don't have a day job.
Stop. If you donate $1 to the Satish Ram Foundation, he can buy food today. Do you want young Satish? And as I'm doing it, you're going, Matt, what are you doing in my house? I'm only in a tank top. Satish is starving. He's hungry.
I feel like the kids on those fucking ads on TV that are supposed to make you feel really bad about yourself for not donating.
That's the joke.
I feel really horrible now.
Now, why are we bringing up the network? Well, we're bringing up the network because, obviously, not only does that have to do with Raw, but, of course, the subscriptions, you know, that whole, you know, will they, won't they thing is coming up pretty soon, and they're pushing it pretty hard onto us to try and get us to stay. And it's really funny how, in a way, they're alienating all the people that cannot get it in their region because of Internet problems.
Yeah, no. Now, we've mentioned this on the air before, and I guess there's more and more, you know, we've become more educated on the matter. As it's
yeah.
funny because you would think they would too. The way that they push it, they may just not care. Sometimes, you know,
right.
It does sound funny. You know, every now and then there is a good like, hey, 999 joke, cool, you know, and
oh yeah,
it works sometimes. I'm okay with that. And you know, you saw Triple H tweet out on Twitter. He's like, hey, if you buy it now for 999, I'll even give you an extra W, which is funny because there is a WWE on the network. So,
well, no, it's funny because I don't know if you noticed, he said WWE
yeah,
when he was talking to Chris
which
Jericho.
Which is also like a double, you know, it works
yeah.
out doubly perfect because
yeah.
not only is there a triple WWE, but there is exactly his, you know, his verbal botch.
Right.
But that being said, like, it just, so sometimes you can make good jokes of it, cool. But it's weird because you're right, they are alienating some people who don't have access to it. And as was I was alerted to, where I was wrong on the air, it is not universally $9.99 U.S. dollars.
Haha.
I was alerted to that on air, which was a big thing, you know, because
yeah, that's what I
thought, hey, at the very least, I really thought that. I said, they can't be this stupid that, you know, they're broadcasting to people across the world, and they're like, $9.99. Everyone's like, is it $9.99 U.S.? No, it's not. And that kind of sucks because
yeah.
– so what you're doing right now is centralizing your product on Americans
well,
who have already capitalized on the opportunity because
yeah.
most of them – who have it available have, I would say.
Yes, and I'll say this much. Hopefully, and I assume, when they, let's say they're broadcasting it in Germany and it doesn't translate to $9.99, they have their own announcers for Germany. You know, they have their own Spanish announce team. So I assume when translating elsewhere, things get adjusted accordingly.
But see, like, does that – it's weird because if you translate, let's say, like, Triple H is – promo, right?
Right.
You can't straight up have him say not $9.99. You know what I mean? Like, you can't translate it and he'd be like, you know, the equivalent of, it's just $12. You know? Like, it would be weird. Also, a lot of countries have English as their predominant language. And
yes, that would be an issue.
You know,
of course, like the UK.
Canada being one of them. Canada the UK being...
Are huge issues, yes. But Germany,
right.
Japan, if there's any – because, of course, you know, I mean, in any translation, there would be localization. So if they had to do a, you know, all right, we're doing a, you know, either a dub over, which would never happen for WWE, but probably a live, you know, feed with subtitles or something, they would probably put, if it worked for them, $11.99.
I would
you
love,
know?
Actually, if they actually video edited the signs in the arena. For it to change. I could be watching
yeah.
Nitro for $9.99 sign. You watch it in Toronto. I could
yeah.
be watching Nitro for Canadian dollars. Legend. That would be the localization.
Yeah, every
I'd rather be
has...
watching Nitro, eh? For $9.99.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Canadian 11. Eh? I can
only
box them because I'm probably going to go live there for 6 years after I finish this year
yeah,
of school.
Okay.
But.
So now, we are starting the official Monday Night Raw episode review. And
you know,
also, if you want.
We clusterfucked the beginning of the show, which is similar to the beginning of Raw, I would argue.
I would argue it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But anyway, let's jump into it. If you want to talk about this segment with us, or any of the other segments when we get up to them, please call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number being 718-664-9468. And Satish, tell them about our little cool feature that we have.
Right, so of course this is something we've been talking about the last few weeks, but if you'd like to call in and listen to us without the forced idea of having to talk to us, you can just call that number, 718-664-9468, to listen in if you don't hit the 1 button. Now, if you do want to talk to us, if we're talking about something that you'd like to jump in on, you can always hit the 1 button. A blue little exclamation point will pop up to us, and we'll get you on air. But if you don't want to be on air, feel free to call in just to listen.
It will pop up on my soundboard. It will.
Thank you,
Matt. And
what
color is the 1? And what color is the 1, Satish?
The 1 doesn't have a color, Matt. The 1 is on the phone.
Oh. So, yes. So, we are doing the highlight reel, which, by the way, has not really appeared on Raw in a while. It appeared on Main Event, but it did not appear on Monday Night Raw.
Which is kind of nice to see. I mean, because huge Jericho mark here. So, basically, any Jericho stuff you give me is usually in the good direction.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. What I really found interesting was, originally, when Jericho first started speaking, he said, "My guest is a man who has never worked a day in his life." And I just went, "So John Cena? A man who's received everything on a silver platter." So it is John Cena. King of Kings hit? Oh, well, I mean, this one works too. Nah, we kid. I mean, I know how we both feel about John Cena and about Triple H, but honestly, they have worked. We can't say that they haven't been given opportunities, definitely more than others. That's obvious. But they have worked. Believe me, John Cena and Triple H, while we will rag on them for what they've done, and sometimes with Cena, mostly with Cena, with what he's doing now, we can't say that they're anything like Eva Marie, let's say. Where Eva Marie is just lucky. Like, she just somehow tripped into Raw, and it's just like, wow, you really got lucky.
I mean, I'll rag on Cena a lot more than I would on Triple H, and this
obviously
is because Trips, of course, have character development and shifts where he was both a face and a heel, and I liked his work rate in the ring more than I did Cena. Now, that doesn't go without fault. I mean, of course, you know, H is still the guy with the fucking shovel, and, you know, has been in some less than respectable angles, see Booker T. Slash, you know, backstage he hasn't always been the best player. And this is, you know, partially what's got him into that position. So, you know, it's weird because on screen I really appreciate Triple H and I really like the work he's put in for the company. And now he's making it even better. Him as a human being is kind of questionable. With Cena, I mean, I'm just kind of questioning everything but the charity work.
Yes, it's very interesting. I don't know how to question him as a human being, but I do feel like the problem is that he just nods as to whatever the company says, because, I mean, hey, he even said, "Oh, I have a friend in Big E," and we've seen where that's gone. Where
no,
usually when someone has
company.
A
John doesn't understand wrestling as a company. And
obviously,
I don't
yes.
say that because I'm not saying John's bad for business. I could argue that, but I'm not saying that right now. What it is something I've talked about with you on air. We just sit there and I'm like, John has to be able to look at these angles. Like, for example, what we're going to talk about later tonight, like the main event, or the main event on last week's Raw, you know, the whole segment. He has to be able to look at them and think, man, A, I don't need this, and B, they really don't need this.
Exactly.
I know he can't be that stupid. And yet he's just going to be like, yes, boss. So
exactly.
That's what irks me. And, you know, we'll talk about that later tonight when we get to the actual Cena
segment. But I will
say
that this segment, though, made me – I'm not going to say happy, but I'm going to say that I feel like they got a different writer than they normally get for this segment. And I think that's what was strange about it. Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't feel like this was a generic John Cena speech, which is interesting because I felt as if it was a little bit out of place for John Cena. You know,
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here and let you go on, because I'm curious as to what you're saying.
Honestly, it's really just the fact that he actually said, "I'm going to sue you," where it's just – it also felt like there was a giant disconnect where, I mean, I know maybe in real life they get the chance to, you know, have a break, obviously, but we're supposed to watch this as a weekly episodic television show, you know, one after the other. So it's very strange to have at one point it's like, "I'm going to stab the Wyatts in the heart repeatedly until I see blood on my face," right? And then going, "I'm going to sue you, good sir, if you do not give me what I am supposed to be getting in my contract," which it's very straight. Like, it feels almost heelish when it shouldn't, because it's understandable. Yeah, if you're not getting what you want, you're going, you know, and it's in your contract, yeah, you're being wronged. But, again, I feel like someone wrote it. I'm not going to say the internet wrote it, but it's a very much like, let's write a different kind of John, where I feel like old school John, the John that we really don't like, would have came out and would have said, hey, listen, you got a big nose and your wife has big breasts. Ha-ha! Let's look at some Photoshopped pictures for 3 minutes.
I just thought it was stupid because Randy Orton still owed a title shot.
That was funny, but also Randy Orton did come up and mention, hey, you know, I can, in a way he said, I can sue too, Hunter, so I mean, remember that. I'll back away into the corner now, but remember that.
I really hope there's some kind of angle there. I mean, because it just, I'm not disagreeing with what you said about the Cena writing. It just really ticked me off that they're like, gonna do that. And I just sit there and I'm
I agree.
Like, Randy Orton has existed, and you've ignored his title shot. You've ignored it. Literally sat there and just, I'm like, what can we do to not give Randy Orton his title shot?
Yeah, that is also in my notes. But what I would say, though, is that there's a chance that Orton has seemed to be compliant, at least until now. He's compliant with, all right, you know what? I'm not going, you know, like, oh, Triple H, yes, we have to fight these. You see, WWE, for some reason, likes to make it seem like the aspect of targeting indicators, like in video games for the WWE games when you can choose, those actually exist in real life. So it seems like, you know, I'm not saying this is good writing, but we've seen this where, you know, Roman Reigns comes out and punches Randy Orton. It's just like, I must fight Reigns now. Randy, you still technically have your shot. No, I must fight Reigns. I mean, Randy, you can still walk into the ring, I mean, like on another day. You know, like you can just call Triple H from your cell phone backstage. Hunter, just stop the whole thing. Like, I'm calling you right now. Put me on the mic. I can tell I'm going to be at the pay-per-view. I can't do that. I got to beat up Randy. I got to beat up Roman Reigns because I'm Randy Orton.
Compliant is a good thing, and I like the word compliant here that you use because
yes.
I like the whole idea of, I like the characters who are, I'm going to be on the good side of the authority because good things will happen to me.
Exactly.
You know, take Seth and Nikki Bella, just for quick examples, right?
Right.
Or Randy even. Early on, Randy Orton, on the side of the authority, what did he get? World championship title shots, a world championship title reign, and basically any match that he asked for. You know, and that also worked with Roman Reigns because he got what he asked for because he's on the good side of the authority. And then you look at Seth getting the Money in the Bank and Nikki getting what would have been a shot at the Divas title too. So I can understand if you put more thought into this on screen that Randy's not suing or quote unquote like going crazy over his lost title shot because he's still getting other things that he wants in the meantime. So he is being compliant.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to cross the boss.
Yes. That's how I see this. But but I agree. The second I saw that, I kind of laughed because it was just like, well, we have Orton. But, I mean, then again, Orton, you know, again, has been getting distracted somehow. But still, though, getting back to this Cena suing thing, I really feel like it stuck out because, you know, you have a guy that's like, bro, I'm John Cena and I'm on a rampage. And then it's just like, I'm going to sue the company, sir. Because of what you haven't... Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that, again, I understand that John Cena being a role model, that is a good role model thing to do. You shouldn't just punch your boss in the face. That's attitude era talk. You know, we're in this era where it should be, you know, John Cena should be like, oh, well, I mean, I'm a good guy. But the problem is that also the fact that, you know, it's just like, I'm going to stab the Wyatts in the face, right? Because I'm a good guy and I'm angry, right? Here it's just, I'm really angry. What should I do? I'm going to take you to court. It's like, Triple H has wrestled recently. He isn't, you know, he's arguably worse than the Wyatts. Arguably, he's done a lot worse than the Wyatts. And thankfully, John Cena, I will admit, which was nice, they did give him the line about burials, which was very interesting. I don't know if you noticed it. They gave him the line where he said, this isn't back in the day when you and your friends got together and chose who got to the top, or it was something along those lines, or chose who you liked. And I went, oh. That was interesting. Oh.
It's funny because it is that still.
Exactly.
He's not the one picking. But.
Right. No, but it's interesting because.
Go ahead.
No, because, I mean, they've done that before. You know, I remember The Rock even mentioned back in the day, he was talking to Triple H and he mentioned the incident where he, you know, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Shawn Michaels all hugged.
The Click?
And it was very...
The Click? The Disruptor,
yes.
Of the Click? Yes.
No, but when they hugged when, you know, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were leaving.
Yeah. The whole dismantlement of the Click, and then they broke
the
fat barrier because of that.
Yes, exactly. The Rock even mentioned that. So, like, it's happened before, but it was very interesting to hear it from John Cena because, I feel like they were testing out another writer. It didn't seem like the generic John promos that John is given. And I'm not saying that was good. I'm just saying it was a weird type of different.
Well, I'll give you that. It just
felt
like the whole maybe first 25 minutes felt really clusterfucky.
Fair enough.
I'm not trying to be a dick. Like, it just felt kind of like disorganized. I didn't like the flow. And I think the entire episode was paced really weird for me. That may have been why I didn't like it. You know, because a lot of things, I don't know if it felt, I can't describe it, honestly. It's not like an out of place thing, but things felt weird.
I think it was.
I don't know.
It wasn't
like,
a bad Raw. It wasn't a bad Raw, but it was.
I think it was. I think it was a bad Raw with some good moments. But
Fair enough. I would say, though, that it wasn't – I'm not saying it was a good Raw, mind you. I'm saying that it just had this weird – the thing is, I think another issue is that they try – which is a good thing, by the way. They're trying to make storylines come together because it's kind of silly to just have, you know, on your same show, a man who is an eater of worlds, right, and a guy who raps, and having them technically be worlds apart, you know? Not even talking about John Cena, more like this, R-Truth or whoever else. Just, you know what I mean? Like, each of these gimmicks that they're not supposed to connect, obviously. Not saying anyone's going to be a tag team out of nowhere or anything like that, like Slater Gator. But they're just all, like, in their own little world, it feels, you know? And they only connect.
About this. They are in their own little worlds, and that's a bad thing.
Right. So it's nice to kind of sometimes bridge the gap, you know, kind of bring the worlds together. But the issue also, which obviously we can't have a complete everyone talking over each other because obviously, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you'll notice in promos who the promo is centered around.
Right.
And that's an issue. Because they're not, you know, so you look later, which we're not obviously at yet, but you look later with, you know, Brie and Nikki and Stephanie and Paige and AJ, and you obviously sit there and you go, okay, yeah, we know who this promo was for.
Right.
So it's an issue. But, either way, I can understand why you would feel that it was a bit, flustery.
I don't know. I mean, the pacing of the entire show, and the main event was also a weird thing. Because,
definitely.
You know, I don't want to skip to the event, but just the way the show ended in terms of the match and then stuff after, it felt weird. So a lot of the way this show flowed for me just didn't jive. And that's a personal thing. You know, so I'm not going to sit here and say that everybody should have hated Raw. But that didn't add to the experience for me.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
So I guess we should move on.
To the tag match?
Maybe.
Maybe to that tag match. Which I actually liked.
I would rather not. There's one man that we should be talking about that we're not.
Seth Rollins dropping the briefcase.
Actually, that was nice. No, Roman Reigns. Yes, it was. Roman Reigns
holding the briefcase.
Even before that, but that was nice too. I think he's really finding his place.
I don't.
Like, really? I knew you weren't going to. But I feel like, okay.
How did you know I wasn't going to agree?
I just, for some reason, I was just like, you know what, I feel like he's actually getting this nice cocky asshole role. I feel like he's different than he was before with this whole, like, trying to get, like, you know, all these different kind of, you know, taglines in to try and put him on T-shirts. It's nice for him to just be like, hey, you know, like, come on, I'm me. I kicked you. You're not going to, you know, you threatened me, didn't you? But you're not going to do anything because I kicked your ass, right? I enjoyed that. But for some reason, I was like, Satish won't like it. I don't know why. I was like, Satish will not like it.
Part of it is my general Roman Reigns feelings because he got a match on the pay-per-view and did not do so hot, I think, against Randy Orton. I think Randy Orton carried the match, you know?
Right.
And I'm kind of, I don't know how to describe it.
But that has nothing to do with his actual promo that he cut. I'm not talking about his match.
Promo? Because you said finding his place, and I was like, what? Wait, what?
With what he... No, please understand. See, remember, as the guy who's a, you know, aspiring actor and everything, amateur actor here, I'm referring to the in the beginning segment when he actually spoke.
Oh,
and
did
it
his
felt
promo
like he,
suck?
Hmm?
Did his promo suck? You're basically, like, throwing at me.
And I'm
like,
saying, and yes, and I'm saying it did not suck.
It did not. You're totally right there. I didn't
love
it.
Thank you, thank you.
But it is a step. It's, I don't know. I don't
I'm
know what
saying,
I expect out of Roman as a the, promo guy.
Right.
But I was not I should be nicer. It's better than I'm giving it credit for. It was definitely something I could deal with.
Right. Fair enough. I mean, I do feel as if he's getting better. You know, I mean,
yeah.
that's it's baby steps, but it
I'm
is happening.
I'm hoping he's getting better. It may just, like, I'm worried, you know, because I'm cynic. I'm like, maybe that was a one-off thing that really fit him.
Well, then let's hope that it's, let's just hope that it's not.
No, I agree.
That, right. Also, we have ourselves a caller. I'd like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Michael Sam, don't do it.
I kind of hope he does. I really hope he does.
No.
I'm worried, but yeah.
He doesn't need that in his life, man.
He doesn't
what
need
doesn't...
ESPN in his life, and they're already fucking, like, I was about to make, like, a they're on his ass joke, but I don't know if that's appropriate. But, no, ESPN is fucking up his ass right now. So I think that, I mean.
Hold on.
It's okay. What matters is that that was not a joke on homosexuality.
No, it wasn't.
And also,
they cover his showering habits, Matt.
That is horrifying.
Look, I want you to sit there and think. They just ESPN, and this is one of the reasons that I've really softened on working for them.
Right.
They sat there and thought, you know what? There's going to be a gay guy in a football team. Let's talk about his showering habits with his teammates. I wanted to punch them in their collective faces.
That's okay. At least that's better than what I thought. See, for some reason, I thought they wanted to, quote-unquote, see how the gay man showers in his own home. You know, let's ask him about how he is in his own natural habitat.
No,
I was so worried.
That stuff. But if Danny's still available there, why are you against the Michael Sam thing?
Look. This guy, he did get cut from the St. Louis Rams. He doesn't want this to be a media circus. You don't need to go to a literal media circus called WWE. Like, they don't...
Well, WWE has not done one thing to be branded as a circus. Name me one thing that they've done.
They hired a clown.
I know that Sam was cut by the Rams. I've got sources that tell me he might be signing with the Cowboys tomorrow morning, which is good news.
Good.
That being said, I think the open mic is what makes it interesting for me.
Yeah, scary. So,
I'm extremely because here's the thing. Ready? If WWE was the way Satish and I wanted WWE to be, this would be fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. With the way WWE actually is. I'm pissing myself because I'm just sitting here going, is this a way to bring Darren Young back? Like, I'm just so nervous. I'm like, why? You know what I mean? Like, what is, like, or is, like, hopefully, right? WWE is doing the nicest thing they can do, right? Which is just going, hey, it's going to get us ratings. We don't give a, you know, that's the thing. Like,
exactly.
We don't give a damn if you're gay, straight, as long as you get us ratings.
WWE, complete
right.
PR stunt for them.
That's
obviously.
What I'm saying.
And I think
right.
that's a dick thing. That being said, on the side of Michael Sam, if he's actually being offered an open mic, like he's really being offered a hot mic,
yeah.
he should take that shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he should just shred whatever he wants.
Oh,
because
yeah.
ESPN
be awesome.
Is a piece of shit, I'll be honest with you. Like, I
right.
don't think, and you know, I don't think you'd really get an open mic there. I think he'd actually get more of an open mic on WWE if that's an honest statement. You know, I'm qualifying that. Like, if they really mean open mic, I think it would do wonders for him. Because this guy could go up there and just be a fucking warrior.
And he could just be like, you know what? Fuck your stigmas.
you know, I'm going to go out there and play football. You know why? Because it doesn't matter if I'm gay or straight. I'm going to go play football. You guys need to shut the fuck up. And then he could turn around and cut shit on WWE. Because if there's a God, this man watches WWE. And he could sit there and be like, y'all need to get your heads out of your asses. Go fuck yourselves.
I think they might try to, you know, try to steer him in certain directions, but I don't think they'll give him a script. Because what's very interesting, though, is how they just, like, what if he declines? What if he just says no? Like, he's watching Raw, and he goes, hell no. And it's just like,
for Michael Sam, I don't think he can lose here. Because if he declines, right?
Right.
It looks bad on WWE. Because Sam is a classy guy, you know? And you just, you look at him, and you think, man, if he didn't want to be on WWE with an open mic, then he's basically saying, you guys aren't worth my time, and that's really bad.
Because that's what I'm saying. What if, how great would that be? They just call his house. They're just like, on the air. And we're calling him right now. Hey, Sam, what do you want? Come on. Come over to Raw.
It's an interesting place because I think ESPN may reach more homes than Raw, right? But that's, like, interesting because they could be different homes.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's hard to explain what I'm trying to say here, but, you know, ESPN is more reaching. It's a sports network where people think, yeah, but they have their demographic. And WWE also has a different demographic. And ESPN got some shit back when Michael Sam got drafted, I believe in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams, because they showed him celebrating with his boyfriend on air.
Right.
And people were like, I don't need to see this shit. I'm boycotting ESPN. And a lot of it was like the people who are, let's say, a couple years older than us, like in the mid-20s to like, and then older, who were just like, you know what, screw you guys, I'm not going to be on ESPN. And then there were a few people around our age doing it on Twitter, like, oh, I can't watch ESPN, this is a violation, blah, blah, blah. So, and that's reaching a certain demographic. So I think it's interesting because you look at WWE's demographic, and a lot of it is children. And it's going to be really interesting because if this guy does come on there, and he accepts, WWE could really, really use this to spin themselves in a good light. Or they could screw it up. You know, because but it's just also something that makes me think, like, how are they going to do this for the kids? Like, are they just going to straight out just be like, this guy's a homosexual, he's playing football, and we support that? Because that would be cool.
But imagine backlash
to that.
Well, I mean, I think Vince is getting smarter because there was actually something, you know, he was smart back in the day, and there's actually a clip talking about the Monday Night Wars, you know, promoting it, where Vince says, people like DX, so I like DX, right? So it's the idea of, oh, this is going to get us ratings, you know, and it's like, so Vince, do you like gay people? Hell no. Oh, but the kids like them, and there's ratings in it, so I'm a big fan. Might be gay myself. You know what I mean? Like these crazy asinine things that are like, Vince, what the hell are you saying? But the point is Vince is actually getting smart going, wait, you guys likey? Okay, me givey. Because it's a situation of, you know, what do people want? You know what I mean? Like maybe he's starting to realize, all right, for some things, all right, you know, this is what they're asking for. So let's just feed them. And hopefully this will be a nice rating stunt and a good PR move. Because that's the thing, he's probably thinking about PR moves now, where, you know, he might discriminate in his own home, maybe in his own backyard, but when it comes to the entire world, it's just, all right, we got to look, you know, our crazy little family has to look good to these people.
And I'm scared,
you know?
I'm scared that this is just a thing to bring back Darren Young, and I'm scared that some heel's going to come out and just ruin this.
Oh, I'm completely terrified.
I don't think they're that dumb because this isn't – I think what Matt's is saying is somewhat right. They realize they need some PR, like good positive public relationship because this is a company that's now getting into shit with AAA. So people are saying they're racist against Mexicans. There still hasn't been an African-American world champion in terms of WWE champion, not world heavyweight, but there hasn't been an African-American black WWE champion. So you look at
and
that
a,
and you look at the fact that now it's like – hey.
It's the highest championship in the company. So.
Right. And now with Kenta, they finally have a chance to not screw up bookings for the Asians. So it's so weird because they have horrible PR across the board with what we would say minorities. and or groups that are dealing with problems from the majority. So you look at now, I don't want to classify them all as a group, but let's say those who classify themselves as homosexual, you got to score some points somewhere. And it would suck if this is some Darren Young-related thing.
Well, I will admit, it just hit me. I said this before, and I agree with you, Daniel. It would be an issue if it was a Darren Young thing. But with the way Darren Young looks now...
Oh, yeah, we talked about this. Darren Young looks
I might
now.
Be for it. I don't know if you've seen his new look, Daniel, but he looks completely badass. So if this was a way to introduce Darren Young back, but to kind of give them both some support, like, oh, I'm not just homosexual and a badass because I play football and I can kick your ass. So could Darren Young. And everyone's like, Darren Young, yeah, I remember. Oh, my God.
Daniel, have you seen Darren Young's new look?
No, I have not.
He looks like he could kill me now, and I'm really proud of that. Because he looked very generic before, and I think he looks superb now.
Does he still look like a black John Cena?
No.
Okay, thank you.
He looks like a black Goku. No, that was actually just a Photoshop. But,
yes. It's just, no, something about him now reminds me of Lesnar, and I don't know what it is, but something about him now reminds me of just, like, I can see him. It's very interesting how, of course, we could have seen Big E as the, you know, champion of the entire WWE, or at the least, you know, world heavyweight, you know. We could see him up there, right? I can definitely see Darren Young up there from his look. Not saying anything about his mic skills because, sadly, we weren't given enough time. Not saying anything about his in-ring skills because, again, weren't given enough time. But just from his overall look, you can see him holding up a main title saying, hey, shut the hell up, I'm Darren Young.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
his new look is good. Before I let you go, Daniel, on this topic, I will say one thing, and this may – but if they have a minor – backstage segment with Darren Young and Michael Sam, I wouldn't be pissed off if that's the last time they focus on Darren Young being gay. Do you get what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you know, they mention it now and they're like, you know what, Darren Young's gay, Michael Sam is gay, we're going to have a little moment backstage, that's it. Darren Young doesn't get a mention of him being, because it shouldn't matter whether he's gay or not. But I can understand them wanting to take advantage of it for a little bit.
Even John Cena said it didn't matter, so...
Yeah. I think it's okay to focus on him being gay and only by saying, hey, if any of you, you know, who are homosexual think, oh, there's no one in the WWE who I can relate to, if only because, you know, I'm not being represented. They could say, yes, Darren Young is homosexual. The problem is that it doesn't need to be related to how he acts, to how he dresses, to how he looks, to any of that about his character, because it has nothing to do with his character. But the point is that it's a big deal because the WWE doesn't do something like this usually. If this was back in the day, Darren Young would be completely in the closet or fired.
Okay, so I have news here on the topic, and this is funny and sad at the same time. According to our very reliable fact checker, Maddie.
Hi, Maddie.
WWE seems to have retracted, I'm reading this word for word, retracted the invitation to Michael Sam. Because they've erased all mentions of it. So this could be them retracting it or Sam rejecting it, in my opinion.
I think that's maybe a shot. That's either maybe a shot fired or a shot
ass. We just spent 15 minutes discussing this. And as soon as we finish, it's like, yep, that's gone. Like, that would be a really screwed up thing for our podcast to do.
I think they heard us.
That's Don't scary. Worry, because in 1 month, for $9.99 on the WWE Network, you can see them talk about it and then slowly not mention it.
Do you know how scary that is, though? Like, do you imagine, like, me sitting here, so Sin Cara should get that Intercontinental title shot, and then out of nowhere, breaking news, WWF, Sin Cara has been announced as the number one contender. I'm like, what?
Really? I was expecting the exact opposite. Like, Sin Cara has been sacrificed by Vince McMahon.
I'm just worrying about like the whole like are they listening thing. Like
we've talked about this before. There's one intern, right? Who somehow manages to get paid. You know, obviously interns don't get paid anything. They manage to somehow charge him, like, you wanna work with us? Pay us money. But I'm an intern. Look, do you want to work here or not? So he pays WWE about like $100 a month to work with them. And he has to listen to our podcasts. And he tells them ideas, and they go, oh, this is what the internet wants? Perfect. We'll make it the exact opposite. Or we'll do exactly what they said. But it's the idea of, like, oh, we should put, you know, storylines together. Like, maybe throw in, you know, like, somehow throw in Bray Wyatt and, or rather, sorry, Jack Swagger and Bo Dallas into the U.S. title thing. Because they have to fight a Night of Champions. Throw them in there. And it's like, oh, so you want people thrown together. Awesome. Diva segment. No!
Jesus, no!
No! That's what I think happens. I think they do listen. Not to, like, toot our own horn. Not going to play the song again. Not to toot our own horn.
But I think
they listen in terms of, you know, just we will know what the internet wants and then not do it. Like, I mean, you mentioned about your old podcast, Satish. People who mattered mentioned to your old listened to your old podcast.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. That was on baseball. I mean, you know,
podcast.
I used to be a somewhat semi-known baseball podcaster, but people didn't know I was young because my voice sounds a little bit like Dipper when he takes the fucking voice potion. So
no, exactly.
But Dipper's voice sounds like he's 30 anyway.
Now? Are you kidding me? That thing cracks like he's going through puberty, bro.
Yeah, okay. Oh, but if you want to talk about deep voices on 13-year-olds, check Donald Glover and Miles Morales.
That was the scariest.
Charlie Gambino does Miles Morales.
That's actually happening. But I have to lie, that was the scariest segue in the world. I was like, I'm really worried about where he's ending this sentence. All right. So thank you for calling in, Daniel. Definitely keep on listening in and listening, and have a great night.
Okay. You too.
I didn't want to cut him off. I had to wait. I was like, please don't.
Oh, my fucking God, man. How do we spend 15 minutes talking about something, and as we mention it? Maddie, you know, I know you're listening out there, so if you can find out either way if they retracted it or he rejected it, if you can just scour Twitter, that would be great, because
I feel like that
I'm
would
really
take
curious. Off.
It'll probably pop up after we're done with the podcast, but still, it's very interesting. How it's just, did they reject it? Like, no, they actually heard your plans, and they heard how stupid, because they were probably going to do the exact thing that we mentioned, which was wrong, where they were like, actually, we're going to have Michael Sam and Darren Young appear in tutus. And it was like, and then second they heard us, they were like, oh, wait, maybe that does sound like a bad idea. So they immediately nuked it.
You know what? I don't know what happened, but if it saved us something offensive, I'm down with it.
And also, I'll say this much. If they're going to edit their episode, maybe we'll edit ours.
That's funny.
I don't think we should, but what I will say is Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus versus Cesaro and Miz. And,
but
yeah, that match.
Know.
Yeah, match is very good. Yeah.
I mean, wow, what are we, like an hour in and we haven't really touched Raw?
No, we have, because remember, Michael Sammon was mentioned on Raw. That is
the
section.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, we haven't, like, really, you know, progressed through Raw. We're at, like, 8:30 right now.
Oh, don't worry. We will. It's 12:17, but we will. All right,
but
we will.
You will.
All right, that match was good. All right, so the Growing Up Bella segment, right? So, no, the match.
The only time the crowd was actually, it was weird, because I thought this was going to be a good crowd because
right.
of how hot they were for Dolph Ziggler. They were.
Yeah.
You know,
sadly,
so I'm not
you were
thinking,
wrong.
Man, good crowd. Wrestler night, they sucked ass. But you know
basically.
What? You know, half a point for cheering for Ziggler. And I will say, this is not something I do very often, but I've been doing it recently. Miz is doing some superb heel work recently.
He is.
And
he is.
Part of it is Damian Sandow / Mizdow helping him out. But
right.
I have to be honest, like, I appreciate douche heels. Because.
Yeah.
We don't have as much anymore, and we have weird blurring of, like, lines. And so we have Miz as this established asshole, pompous asshole, and he's good at it.
I would argue.
That's who he is as a human being.
Yeah, I would argue that, you know, since we've gotten certain writers off of the you know, writing staff, specifically one, I'm sure you know about this, the one that was basically trying to bury the Miz back in the day. Did you hear about this?
I'm listening.
He was jealous of the fact that, so, like, you know, how did this young guy just come on, you know, freaking waltz in and just end up getting someone like Maryse?
Yeah.
And he was basically actively trying to bury him.
Ah.
So that could be a reason why you just sat there and you thought, wow, this guy's shit. Like, this guy's doing nothing right. I'm not saying that he was good. He was, he was a god back in the day. But there is a chance that, you know, he wasn't given the right opportunities or the right role.
No, he wasn't.
But
I think I've said this on air. Two things I've held against The Miz. One is the fact that he moved over from being Mike the Miz Mizanin. And I hated him as Mike the Miz Mizanin, as like the host of the show. So I was sitting there like, this guy should not be in wrestling. And that being said, you know, I held that against him. I still do in a way. But I don't know if I've admitted this on air, but I've admitted it to at least Maddie. I know he's shown improvement over time, and for that, I don't particularly hate the guy. Because
exactly, you can't.
I can tell he's put in some work from when he first started, and I actually really appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know, so
I would argue it's an issue of just they, you know, sometimes WWE, most of the time WWE will just see that something's hot, right? So they could have actually possibly looked at Michael Sam and thought, could he, like, wrestle in the ring and throw someone around? And it was like, wait, no, that doesn't work. That's a bit too soon. You know, and they were like, maybe let's not do this. So, like, they'll look at something like, let's say, The Miz, or they'll look at Eva Marie and they'll be like, oh, Eva's hot. Throw her out there. But she's not even good with the wrestling. Just throw her out there. She just has to slap someone. It's fine.
Oh,
she's
on the
like,
Michael Sam thing, it looks like Maddie's got an update for us on that.
Oh, thank you.
PW Wrestling says that it was 100% a ratings thing to try and get, you know. And Sam had no desire to appear. Oh, especially because he was probably going to sign with the Cowboys. Fuck yeah.
Oh, right. So you don't want to stir the pot. Right.
Sorry, I just get really happy when I get sports shit right. That's kind of like a little thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, as you may or may not know, they got Jerry Springer for next week instead.
Well, we'll talk about that when we fucking get to it. But, because we know exactly where that's going to fucking go. And speaking of sports shit, by the way, the national anthem that I played was actually sung by Whitney Houston at Super Bowl 25.
You're a good man.
I knew because YouTube told me. So anyway,
Whitney Houston needed the plug from us. But, you know.
Right, yeah, right? Just you know, she listens to this. She's just like, wait, why am I listening to this? And then she shuts us off immediately. The match itself.
Over. That was the equivalent of giving John Cena an extra guy to bury.
Yeah, which, you know, will happen soon, I'm sure. So Sheamus and Ziggler versus Cesaro and Miz, which, of course, you know, we said it before, but we'll say it again. The match was nice because of the fact that it was a new kind of combo. We haven't actually seen this in a while. And, of course, we got Ziggler chance, as you mentioned, which is good because I was nervous because, if you've noticed, you look at The Miz, right? We've gotten Satish Ramp to say that The Miz is entertaining, which is a scary thought. Honestly, and the problem is that they've given him so much time to be entertaining that I don't think they've really done a lot to Dolph, because I think they're just sitting there thinking, well, I mean, everyone will at least cheer Dolph, which is funny because they did cheer Dolph yesterday. But thankfully on Main Event, well, we won't talk about it too much, they gave him some mic time against Mizdow.
Right,
so
because, Mizdow subbed in for Miz on Miz TV.
And do you know where Miz is apparently right now? Apparently? Filming Fast and the Furious, according to WWE.
God, that would be hilarious.
That's what they said. That's what Mizdow said. He's currently out filming. He has a role in the new Fast and the Furious.
So that would be Fast 7. And you know what? I don't know. Maddie, can you confirm if that's real? Because I have to ask. I'm curious because, Fast and Furious gets guest roles and stuff like that, you know? And I don't know what they're doing. They could do something like that. That being said.
So, yes. Yeah. So anyway.
Fresh cast of people. The crowd was hot for it. Ziggler hot tag is always fun. I just really want him to get a new finisher. The finish of the match was fun with Damian Mizdow, but we really need Dolph to get a new finisher, because I'm kind of getting the zigzag still doesn't look that impressive. It never has.
I like it, but I understand. I think it's easy to put someone into, like, it's very quick, and it's like it could be. I feel like it's, to me, it seems like an RKO in the sense that, you know, oh, how is it going to be done this time? But
I get that, but it's sort of like a just let me pull him down on his back. Oh, that's it. Like, it just
I understand.
And Dolph being the guy of his build, I think he just needs, like, you know, something like a brainbuster or something. I don't know, something that looks a bit more convincing for him, I would argue.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is a guy who they've also given the sleeper hold to, which sucks.
That's an issue, yes. All right, so let's move forward with Growing Up Bella.
So how did you feel about the Growing Up Bella segments? Like, all of the little
first,
videos?
Okay, the first one was nice. The last two were an issue. The first one I liked because, although it was really funny, because she was like, you know, Ryan disappeared. And I sat there and I thought, is she going to imply that Bree killed him? Because I got to say, that would be a nice main event level angle. Like, that would kind of shoot this up, where she's like, I think she killed him. I'm not saying that she did, but there was blood on her outfit. I would just sit there and be like, you know what? Accuse your sister of murder? I'm game.
It's weird. The reason I felt weird about these segments is because there wasn't any inclination. Okay, I think Nikki is lying. She has to be, right?
Right, right.
But if she's not, because there wasn't any inclination given to, like, whether she was or not.
That's the problem.
Bree is a horrible person.
You see, so, that's why.
Inclination, basically, like, I assume that she's lying because, oh, she wants the title shot, you know, and she's getting it.
Right.
Or she wants Bree to quit. Nikki's lying, you know. But, man. Like, that
some
heavy stuff.
That's the thing. I would rather her go the full 9 yards with the murder thing, and here's why. I don't know if you know. I'm sure you know about this. The famous it was the situation where Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels broke up.
Yep.
Like, you know, on the barbershop.
Like the
and
kick
Shawn.
In the face.
No, yeah, Shawn puts him through the window.
Yep.
Right. And I believe it was Bobby the Brain Heenan says, did you see what that coward just did? And he says, you know, and you're thinking he's almost Shawn. He's like, that coward, Marty Jannetty, tried to run from Shawn Michaels by jumping out the window. Like, how could a man do something so cowardly? You know,
my favorite heel lines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you should go the full 9 yards, because the problem with the last two, and the problem is, it doesn't say anything bad about Bree at all. The first one was bad because it's like, I never told anyone, but that was a really bad thing that Bree did. She stole my boyfriend. The other two, and here's what you're thinking, Matt, like, what do you mean? Bree stole the car and, you know, whatever. And Nikki never told anyone. Oh, yeah. You know, and the last one was the funniest. Bree made me cheat for her. Look, unless you're telling me Bree put a gun to your face, you didn't have to do that one. Like, that's the they got to the point where it's just, wait, Nikki, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, you know, Bree wanted to kill a man, but she told me to do it, and then I did. He had a family. I killed them too. I can't believe she made me do this. I never told anyone.
Yeah, I may have liked the ridiculousness more, because then it would have been easier to sit there and be like, hey, okay, she's definitely lying, you know?
And it can, and you can focus it mostly on you know, on Bree, because I will admit, you could see, oh, there's a sister bond, so she's not going to, because I have younger brothers, but I'm not a twin, you know, and you're not either, so we can't really see the whole bond of, you know, oh, well, I'm going to protect this person, even though they were being mean or whatever, but it has to be more outlandish, because like you said, it's just, for some of them, it felt like, it's like, Nikki, you're kind of at fault here, too. Like, the first one is completely Bree. But the other two, there's just that hint of, Nikki, you're not good. Like, what do you,
I did enjoy Nikki's acting, though. Like, her delivery and her just general heelness. I enjoyed that, and I'm coming to appreciate her work. And what I'm not appreciating is Maddie's fun fact of the night is apparently that Miz is a Triple Crown champion, which I am aware of. Thank you, Maddie, because of the fact that, you know, he at the time had the championship main evented WrestleMania against John Cena. CM Punk is not WrestleMan, you know, wrestled the main event at WrestleMania. The Miz.
I don't remember that, actually. But
Maddie's a champion. By the way,
I don't remember him winning the main title. But I mean, Maddie, you know, the WWE. But I mean, Maddie's our fact checker, so I'm going
you
to.
You don't remember him winning
right.
the WWE championship?
Nope, not at all.
I'm really glad. That being said, but you don't remember when he turned the W upside down and made it an M? For the Miz championship, it's in WWE 13.
I mean, I saw that championship, but I assume that was video game only.
Nope, that was him. Maddie sends me a heart as my heart breaks because CM Punk.
I understand she's our fact checker. She can't be wrong. But she is a huge Miz fan, so there's a slight feeling of doubt for me that this has ever actually happened.
I'm on the
WWE Network right now, actually, and
I guarantee you won't be able to find it, because if you search it, you'll only find five matches.
No, that's the thing. Like, when did this happen? Which WrestleMania was this? Because I'm looking right now, and I don't see Miz versus John Cena on the network. I don't.
Yeah, you'll have to go to the WrestleMania because you can't search it.
I'm there right now, and it does not make any mention of it whatsoever.
That's good. I like the network now.
It's John Cena versus the next. I don't know. I don't see. Yeah. Anyway, seriously.
Yeah. Triple Crown Champion, for those of our listeners out there, I know a few of them who are still learning terminology, is someone who's held the main title, like WWE, and a secondary singles title, like the Intercontinental of the U.S., and one of the tag titles. That being said, Miz, I believe, held it with John Morrison, because John Morrison, being one of my favorite guys, actually, was one of the heel tag team champions with the Miz back in the day. He's also held with someone else, too, if I remember correctly. Maddie can give me more info on that, because I willingly do not really keep track.
Well, while she's looking at that up, let's talk about one of the best matches of the night. Layla Samurai and Naomi versus Rosa Mendez, Eva Marie, and Cameron.
Wait, when did the match happen?
Well, you see, there was a moment when you said, you know what? There's like, you know, the match is going to last a very long time. Let me go pee or make myself a sandwich. And as you got up to do that, the second you got up from your couch onto your feet, the match was over.
You know, Matt, I know they do some things to promote Total Divas. I just took a swig of a drink because I'm just sitting here like, you know what? They do some things to promote Total Divas.
Yes.
That was really bad.
It was really bad.
There's
because
no
if you're going to...
There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Even though we saw Rosa Mendez's butt on main event tonight. But there are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That was a really bad segment.
The reason why that was such a huge issue is because you actually saw a nice match from what they were given. So you think about it, and you think that some of these women, not all, because Eva Marie was in the match, but some of these women could have been given at the very least 5 minutes. I mean, the main event was a six-person tag. This six-person tag couldn't have lasted longer than 2 minutes. I counted, Satish, 2 minutes.
I guess what pisses me off, too, is that it continuously feeds the whole cat fight idea. I can't think of a better word right now, but you know what I mean. Put a whole bunch of women in the ring together, they're going to get catty and fight with each other. They can't possibly be held to the rules of the match.
No. That actually wasn't my problem, because my problem more is the fact that men have done that too, and they haven't immediately disqualified anyone.
And maybe you do agree with me here, is that before they did that shit, there was only like one move. There was like no match time.
No, there was 2 minutes. I feel like Layla actually did more than what I thought Layla could do. Maybe that's why I was actually impressed, because I didn't expect anything. There were things happening. That's the thing. It was getting better. Like, it was progressing from, you know, these fans chanting Randy Savage and JBL, which infuriated me, where they actually quieted down and went, oh, nice, there's a match. But then the second they get disqualified, you can see the fans go, wow, fuck this. You know, we became quiet and unruly for this. We didn't become, you know, unruly for this. And it was infuriating because, again, I think it's fine for the women because, again, men do this too. You know what? Let's all fight each other because, you know what? We hate you guys. You know what I mean? Like Shield Wyatts, they're going to beat the hell out of each other. But the problem is that the ref doesn't immediately in those matches go, all right, let's call for the bell. No.
Oh, that was definitely part of it too. That was definitely part. I agree.
Yeah.
By the way, Miz was apparently champion with R-Truth. No, not R-Truth. It was, now another text is coming in. she texted me saying that, John Morrison, which was a good tag team, and she thought it was R-Truth as part of the Awesome Truth thing. And my head was like, no, it wasn't R-Truth. They sadly never won. I remember it with Big Show. And apparently, and my mind is kind of blanking on this, three-time tag champion, Morrison is one of them, Big Show, and John Cena. I vaguely remember this.
I'm going to move on to whatever's the next thing
on the card tonight, Matt. So please.
We're still talking about this match, damn it, because we're going to complain slightly. A little bit more, not too much, but a little bit more.
Sure.
I'll say this. I won't complain about this. It is smart to put Eva into a match after showing that she was on the cover of Iron Man, because, damn it, I was hoping, I was like, oh, really, they're going to show this cover and then she won't be doing something? So
and
it's smart.
Of course, King has to make the comment, I need to renew my subscription to Iron Man. Shut up, King.
And it was like, ugh. Like, what's funny is he could have added, because, I mean, you know, like, she's clearly has such strength. Like, you could have added something. But, like, with just that sentence, it's like, oh, King, no.
And, you know, he's happy to get that in there. He's like, hey, puppies. God fucking damn.
Exactly.
I have a lot
and
of
also,
shut up, King moments lately. I'll be honest with you. And it's starting
of
to
course.
Me up.
Also, by the way, I have to be honest with you about Eva Marie in this match. I think this is the first time that I could call her, quote-unquote, adorable. And now, why do I say that word? I think they need to let her be a face and play an Emma-type character. Because think back to the end when there was that cat fight, right? All the women in the ring were like, I'm going to beat up Layla, or I need to protect my friend Layla. Eva Marie fell on her like a baby deer.
I actually
go back
blocked
and look
out
at
most
it.
Of that segment, so I'm going to have to check that to verify.
You have to look it up. It's hilarious. She just fell on her. And then when she fell on her and she looked at what everyone else was doing, she went, wait a minute, guys, when did we stop playing touch football? It was wonderful. It was a wonderful moment. So I really think that they need to play her up as this. Like, they can tell, like, okay, basically what they can do is they can somehow find a way to tell the fans without her knowing. She's not good. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like a, you know, how Emma's supposed to be, quote-unquote, like, she's good, but she'll, like, stumble around and whatever, right? We need to somehow, you know, because even though Emma's stolen, quote-unquote stolen, I think she needs to work her way up away from these, you know, gimmicks that are holding her down and give that gimmick to Eva Marie, because it wouldn't hold her down. It would be a gimmick where we're supposed to cheer her for her blunders, and she thinks, she doesn't understand that they're blunders. So she's like, I'm doing really good. And they're like, Eva, you are doing very well. You definitely are doing very well. And the fans are like, woo, because she tripped walking to the ring. You know? Because we're all like, yeah, Eva, woo, because if we have to find a way to support her. And she can't be like a, you know, a quote-unquote hot, evil woman. No, we need to give her some, and if she's going to keep on being like a baby deer, you embrace that. Embrace the deer.
I just...
That should be a shirt.
By the way, when's the last time we've seen Emma on Raw? It's been a while, right?
I believe, she was on, the issue is she was actually on SmackDown, I believe, and she actually fought against Paige. So she's been doing things, just
okay.
Not.
That's good.
Yes. Right. So, but anyway, I do think that, you know, if you want to, like, she deserves that, because we need something to like her. We need something to not moan, whenever she's on screen. I think giving her that, you know what, you know, giving her the bumbling idiot kind of role might help her. Get some kind of something.
Can't possibly be worse than what we have now.
Exactly. Oh, and you want to talk about the next thing on the card? Oh, yeah, you definitely do, don't you, Satish? Yeah. Big Show and Mark Henry versus the Wyatts.
I really don't want to talk about this. I really don't want to talk about this. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I've actually ranted about this already.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can say here.
Right.
That wouldn't be a rehash of what I've already said on air.
I may be rehashing, but I'm not sure. I don't think that they're as good as with stories as they think, because they think right now that they're doing storyception with, you know, the fact that Rusev is here while Mark Henry and Big Show are fighting the Wyatts. But the problem is that they don't understand, which is something else that they've, you know, done before, with the Usos and the Wyatts. They don't understand that a rivalry isn't when one side constantly loses. You know, you got to have, and I believe maybe the Wyatts might have one win on Big Show and Henry, one. But maybe you can check that if you can, Maddie, but I'm pretty sure, you know, in recent memory with the whole idea of Mark Henry and Big Show versus the Wyatts, pretty sure that the Wyatts have lost in some way every single match, even if it was by DQ. The Wyatts have lost every single match.
And what's funny about that is that they felt so compelled to do this match again, they had to advertise it a different way.
Right,
they
yeah. They had
thought,
to mention
how
this
heavy. Again?
Yeah, how heavy are these people?
1,400 pounds of terror in the ring.
Hilarious.
And my first thought was, oh, my God, they're going to do the superplex spot and break the ring again.
That would be awesome. If that was, that would be beautiful, I think.
That would have been incredible if they
that
did.
That would have been nice.
But all it was a matter of, there are large men in the ring. Thank you, WWE. We kind of knew that.
Yeah, it was just very upsetting because, you know, you can still see that there's a storyline between them. They haven't killed that off just yet. You know, and I understand
what
if
the
you
story
maybe,
is, I don't fucking know.
And the story, here's the thing. If you see SmackDown, you'll notice that they'll have these little segments where, like, Harper or, you know, or well, mostly Harper, will say something like, run, big man, run. You know, stuff where it's like, hey, you know.
So he's going
your
after
ass.
Him because he's big?
No,
like
basically just.
Like, he's just looking at you. You are the tallest guy on the roster.
Probably.
He's gonna beat you and gain your powers.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And
I would not be surprised.
And Mark Henry for help, and he's like, help me. And Mark's like, sorry, bruh. Gotta protect America, bruh.
Yeah, like, that's, I think that's the funniest thing in the world, where it's just like,
God, that was
you know,
weird.
Yeah, it was a nice segment because, again, I haven't really, I haven't heard them speak a lot, so it was nice to have them speak to each other and be like, yeah, man, just bro-man, just bro-fist, all right, cool. Like, it was like respect. I was like, oh, okay, you're people. You're not just monsters that destroy other, you know, tag teams. Like, you're human beings that talk to each other. That was nice. What was very interesting, though, is like you mentioned, like we mentioned Mark Henry was like, gotta protect America. It's I was reading a Superman Batman comic recently, an older one, and there's actually a superhero. I'm sorry, everyone who loves comics, that I didn't know this. There's a superhero named Uncle Sam, who is basically what you think he is. He's exactly what you think Uncle Sam would look like.
So...
that's what I imagine Mark Henry to be now. Just completely dressed up as Uncle Sam.
And on that note, on the same tag match that we're talking about, you've got a response, Matt. Maddie noted that the Wyatts and whatever we'd like to call the Big Show and Mark Henry as a tag team have faced off 7 times since August 5th.
Mm-hmm.
The Wyatts have a record of 0-7.
Exactly. Now, there were obviously, you know, like in this match, it was Rusev, so it's not a technical loss, but yes, 0-7.
That's kind of bullshit, ain't it?
Well, I'll say this much. You know, and we have to go quick, but I'll say this much. I think WWE may think of the Wyatts like they thought of Kane, where, oh, Kane's a giant monster. So his win record doesn't have to be, like, you know, 1,000,000-0. You know,
and that's correct. The win record
doesn't
have to be 1,000,000-0. But it can't be 0-something.
That's the problem right there. Where that's, and I think they're just, like, I, like I've said, I don't think it's, like, I don't think you're trying to actually bury the Wyatts, right?
I
because if
they
were, they wouldn't be on TV.
I think they're trying. They're trying really hard.
I don't think, they're not trying to bury the Wyatts. We've discussed this before. If they want to bury you, you don't appear on television. You know what I mean? You get destroyed by John Cena, which they did, fair enough, last week, but they appeared on TV this week and on Friday, if my memory is correct. So they haven't,
they look
you know,
stronger?
They did, but they can still not be there. They can still say,
did
oh, no,
win?
The Wyatts are so defeated that they're not going to appear this week, you know? I don't think they're trying. The problem is I think they are relying too much on the fact that, you know, the Wyatts and Bray are so over that it's just, yeah, we can feed them to people. And it's like, no, you can't. It's like, what do you mean? You're going to like them either way. You know, because regardless, we're still going to like the Wyatts when they cut crazy promos and do crazy stunts. The issue is that, of course, you know, I think WWE may be relying too much on that, where it's just, how about giving them tag team gold? And it's like, oh, not a chance.
I just hate that you can look at guys like John Cena and Alexander Rusev and realize that they've been given collectively, the two of them, more of a push than Bray or any of the, you know, other two have been at all.
Yes, that's a huge problem.
And I mean, like, Cena and Rusev right now are getting a bigger push than Bray and the Wyatts have ever gotten.
Right. And Cena, I mean, doesn't necessarily matter because he's always going to be there. You know, that's an issue. When you bring up Rusev, that's a huge problem because he's new enough where he should really be on the same level as Bray. You
he
know?
Should be lower than Bray. Fuck that.
When I say same level, I mean, if you're going to say, oh, no, it's a starting position. Everyone has to go through these trials and tribulations.
Yeah, exactly. If
that's
the starting position is point A, Rusev should be 5 feet behind there and jobbing to Bray. who's like a mile
right.
ahead of point A.
Who's also been here longer, by the way, which is, I mean, longer on the main roster.
I think.
Right.
He was either Husky Harris or Mike McGillicuddy. I think he was Husky Harris.
He was Husky Harris, dude. Mike McGillicuddy was
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
But,
listen, the names are so bad, I get them confused.
What's wrong with Husky Harris? You're literally saying, hey, you're fat. There's nothing wrong with that.
And
except that there's
Harris.
Everything wrong with there's everything wrong with that. Paul Heyman promo. How'd you feel about that? Because I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad, but, I mean, Heyman usually is so good that...
I don't know. I thought it was fun, man, because I sit there and I'm like, you know what? You're ripping into the John Cena character. You really are. John is grasping at straws. He needs it.
Hmm.
John needs this victory. I mean, Heyman's doing a better job of selling this thing than John is because, you know, John doesn't sell shit. But... Heyman at least is keeping me interested, and I liked that after his whole exchange with Stone Cold over last week, there was a lot of talk
right.
about, like, how is he going to entertain us this week? What
right.
is he going to do? And I thought he came through, because he needs to do something that makes the feud somewhat relevant with Brock not being there. So, you know, Heyman's appearance is basically the Brock appearance. And I would accept that. Like, that's the equivalent of a Brock appearance for me. That was a good, solid, you know, above-average promo because Heyman constantly spits them out. And
yeah.
I really liked the way it felt because I sat there and I'm like, you know what? I see your point. I don't disagree with you.
Then maybe I have to listen to it again because he had good points, obviously. But I don't know. Something about it didn't connect because I think he's just done so much good work, like amazing work that, you know, and the fact that Brock does have the title. So for me, it's just I think I'm just so – I'm to the point where it's just, all right, like I want to be at Night of Champions going, so yeah, so Brock's going to win. Or, oh, Brock didn't win. Well,
that
I guess I'm not re-upping
that
network. What?
That Brock is the champion. Like, not that I hate it. But it's just kind of like, and another week comes by and no Brock, you know, no champion on Raw.
Well, no, I agree.
It's weird, you know? Not that I dislike the fact that Brock won, but it is weird to think like, wow, and next week, you know, we get to see him maybe, but...
Yeah, that's why they need to do something where, you know, people are, like, they need to do something where they take it off Brock a bit sooner than WrestleMania, but not by giving it to Roman Reigns. Like, they have to do something to say, hey, Brock, screw you. You know, like, I think it was a huge issue that they gave Brock the new title because they could have easily had him with the double belts and play the runaway game. And it's just, you know, Brock fights when he wants the fights. Yeah, that's what Heyman would say, want the fights. And then it would turn into, oh, well, you know what, screw that. We're giving the new title, kind of like how Triple H was just given a title. We're just giving the title to Randy Orton. Immediately someone comes out and says, no, we should have a match for it tonight on Raw.
That'd be cool.
You know? Yeah. Sadly, they didn't do that. And I think they're really going to try and have him be a part-time champion till WrestleMania, which is better than the alternative of Cena, but of course it's still a problem because it's a transition, so we don't know yet. But as of right now, it doesn't look like they're trying super-duper hard. They're trying a bit, but not...
I'm just going to be honest with you, though. You know, like, we're sitting here in September, right?
Right.
WrestleMania is going to be next, what, like April?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a long time.
Yes, that's the problem.
To have a part-time champion.
Yes.
I mean, that's a long time for one person to hold the belt, period, unless they're really dynamic.
Right.
But, I mean, part-time champions is going to be – that's a hard role.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. Because if they're smart about it, then and I think they're getting better, but again, not crazy better – they will really push the United States and the Intercontinental and the Tag Team Championships. And the problem is I want to say that they're trying, but the issue is that Night of Champions is coming. So that could just be why I'm seeing this. But if they keep them relevant and they, let's say, take the U.S. title off a guy like Sheamus and do put it on someone like Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose again, except that now he's a bit higher on the, you know, totem pole, someone who will carry the title.
Oh, fuck, I miss Dean Ambrose.
Me too. We'll carry the titles if it's just, hey, you know, I'm not just the guy who couldn't get into the main event. I am the main event right now. You know what I mean? The big guy is gone. You know, so now this is the main title.
Oh,
God damn it, fuck. Oh, damn it. I hate that. Oh, God, why is this? I'm now you're making me feel sad.
Fuck, I miss CM Punk.
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Damn it.
Fuck,
actually, I'm afraid I've got some good news. Swagger, you know, fought Curtis Axel, which is a match that we also haven't seen in a while, And Bo Dallas appeared.
Okay, so, you know, before we jump into that segment, by the way, Maddie has another fun fact. Bray Wyatt claims that he's inhabiting the body of Husky Harris, which is beautiful. So, moving from one beautiful thing to another, good God, Bo Dallas.
Yeah, that segment, I think, made my night tonight, because it was just, it was something that, because the thing is, you know, we've all, obviously, Bo isn't getting buried, but we've heard these rumors, and, you know, you always worry, and it's really nice to not only not have him be buried, but to be giving him more elaborate segments, you know, because it shows that they at least cared enough to do that. Which is really, really nice, because he did something that I never thought he would do, where he just brought people in and just said, hey, Jack Swagger, this is how you ruined America. Everyone speak. And it was just magical. How did you feel?
I don't know, again, like as you mentioned just now, I'm really glad he's not being buried, because I was really afraid. Like, I know that the gimmick may not have worked, but I wanted them to at least give it a legitimate chance. And it looks like they're giving it a legitimate chance.
Yeah.
And it's just great because, you know, Maddie and I had this debate last night. Bo has a really punchable face.
He really does. It's wonderful.
And I don't use this phrase often, but, man, when he smiles, I want to punch him.
Yep.
Partially because of his actions, too. Because after that whole thing, like, he found three people to just sit there and say, like, man, you failed America, Jack. And then mocks the We the People thing. And I'm just sitting there like, everything about this is great. Because he's still being Bo, which is a really, like, subtle heel thing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he's trying to make it seem like he's really on the side of the people. Like, he's sitting there, like, you know. Also, I laugh really hard because he has the Vladimir Putin picture on tap, too.
Yes. No, I was wondering who he wanted to be the child of, where I was like, does he want to be Bo Dallas's son? Does he want to be? No, he wants to be the son of Vladimir Putin. And all of a sudden, just bam.
You know, and I laugh. I'm like, oh, Bo has him on tap, too. This is good. Like, this is really
good.
And I was worried about what they were going to do with Swagger. And now I'm happy. Because if Swagger gets to put over Bo, that's a really smart move. Because
it is.
Why not? You know what I mean? And Swagger's still likable in this role, which is funny. Not really,
and,
like, lovable.
Yes.
But he's still likable, because you sit there and you're like, leave the guy alone. He fought his hardest.
Yes.
And Bo's just like, he didn't believe. Fuck him.
And what's even better is that, okay, unlike his brother, unlike Bray, if Bo does lose against Swagger, it makes Swagger look good, and Bo can further, you know, go down the pole of just, you know, it's like, so Bo, what happened this time? It's like, oh, see, all right, you guys don't understand. See, what happened was I was hearing the count as one and two, but all of a sudden the ref just counted three. I mean, it was just crazy, you know? You know, like, he can do that, and it's okay. It's a lot different than Bray, who just, you know, I mean, Bray basically gets murdered, and he can come back from the dead once, but after a while, it's just, all right, Bray, we know you didn't die. You lost the match in a fake show against other people, and you're, you know, and people start to feel pessimistic. But with Bo, it's just always cute how he can come up with just some nonsense, you know, which just, oh, you see, what happened was Roman Reigns was in the ring before, and the ring was just so slippery.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. That being said, I don't want him to burn all the good excuses yet, and he should be beating Swagger. And, you know, again, I've supported Jack Swagger's recent run. That being said, Bo needs to be beating Swagger here. There shouldn't be any excuse for the opposite.
Fair enough. I mean, I just think that if, you know, you can, at this point, you can make them both look good because, hey, guess what? There's no damn titles on the line, which is why it would be smarter to dump them into a title match because they don't have to lose. You know, they can just have their own feud, but if they're not getting pinned, then it's just, all right, you know what I mean? And then the feud can continue for real on the card after Night of Champions. Like, I would hate if it's just a, you know, it's like, oh, look, it's a dark match. Not for a title or anything, but it's a dark match.
Maybe the pre-show.
That's what I meant, pre-show. It's the pre-show match, but still, you know, it's just no titles whatsoever. Oh, well. But anyway,
it might be the pre-show.
But anyway, so it was such a nice thing, though. And also, Jerry Lawler said something that didn't make me cringe. It was actually a nice old man joke. It was just, you know, both King jumped in because both Cole and JBL were arguing with each other. And he said, "Boys, don't make me come back there. I'll turn this car around." And I sat there and I went,
"Shut up, King."
Yeah. I was like, "You know what? Good for you, King. You did good. You did good, King."
King, you're old. Your social security number is 1. Moving on.
Now, another good thing that happened tonight. The good thing was that Adam Rose appeared. The bad thing is that it was versus Titus O'Neil.
Okay. This is interesting.
Yes.
First off, I think that bunny was Justin Gabriel. Because
okay,
I was joking with Maddie because it had to be Justin Gabriel or Zack Ryder. And we saw Zack Ryder later.
No,
that being
I
said,
assume it was Zack Ryder.
Yeah, that bunny double leg took down Heath Slater and beat the crap out of him. That was some pretty, you know, I'm just saying, that bunny's got some classical training. Because, like, that was a legit MMA takedown. But
yeah, that's something we needed.
What a weird moment. Like, that whole match segment thing.
Okay. Other than the fact that Adam Rose did the roll-up, which, again, is that huge issue of blurring lines that we don't need from Adam Rose because people need to like Adam Rose and stop saying he should.
The ending segment was what blurred the lines.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the ending of the segment.
Yeah, well, you mean the fact that he rolled him up or that he was happy with the bunny afterwards?
When he threw Slater into the steps right after. That was extremely heelish.
Wow, I may have actually burned that out of my memory. Yeah, that's a huge issue.
Okay, so what happened was after the match, Rose stepped out there with the bunny. And the bunny, this is really interesting, by the way. I don't know if this is going to be a storyline thing. The bunny directed, like, pointed towards the steps. And Rose agreed, and they threw him into the steel steps. And the crowd cheered.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. Because,
just like,
again,
man, he's Slater, that jackass. And it's like, but.
I know, that's a problem. Like, they can't just, especially because Adam Rose, I think, it's funny to compare Adam Rose to John Cena, but these are two characters that the kids are supposed to look up at, you know, at and be like, yes, mommy, that is a nice character that I should be laughing and enjoying, you know, with their antics.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, like, Adam's not the role model type, but at the same time, like, he is a face, and he should be likable, and I want to like
he's
him,
a comic,
if I didn't...
And, you know.
Yeah, comic relief. If I didn't know that he was so good in the ring, and not like an ace, but he's good in the ring, you know, and I didn't like him personally, it would be really hard to follow the booking here, you know, because his booking has sucked.
I just think that what happened is, and this is a huge problem, they looked at this match and they went, oh, it's a comic relief. So what does that mean? Well, we pee on the page and then we see what happens after. You know, it felt like they didn't really say, like, you know, because I think, like, there are certain parts of Raw where, I mean, hey, they did something, which was nice, because someone actually had to sit there and script something, which does mean something. But I think that we have a lot of just people backstage that, and it sounds so silly to say this, because I'm a 22-year-old man, to think of the children, you know what I mean? If the segment is push towards the children, think of the children. You know what I mean? Don't say, like, oh, our show, you know, children should be able to watch our show with a parent, but children should be able to watch our show. And this is a character that children should be looking at and be laughing at and be looking at the guy and going, yeah, you know, I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, it's his face. He's a really good guy. He's not like a Roman Reigns type. You know, he's a face. He's supposed to be a lovable. He just threw him into steel steps. Huh. Like, you know, like, oh, you know, and with a bunny, a man in a bunny suit. The bunny doing things was really nice because it was just the fact that the fact that Slater was even doing things, you know, the fact that he did the call, the Titus O'Neil thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that got Slater huge pops. Like, everyone behind him was like, Slater, Slater, and he sat there and thought, damn it.
Oh, yeah, random amendment, by the way, to the announcers team. It's not Slater and the Gator. It's Slater Gator.
Slater Gator.
Yeah, they said Slater and the Gator, which is, you know, it doesn't work. It's Slater Gator. Slater Gator! Hashtag. Hashtag Slater Gator.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right. But anyway, so, yeah, I don't know. And that's the problem, where it's like they give you something nice, where it's the bunnies doing something, and you can kind of have people in, you know, in Adam Rose's crew doing things. And then all of a sudden he gets the win off the roll-up, which, and then, of course, throws Slater into the steps, which becomes a huge issue because it's just, you know, like at the very least, you know, it could have been something like, hey, you know, don't mess with my friend. But no, it's just, you should cheer me on for my actions. Also, by the way, his beard makes him look hungover.
The beard is
which is really funny. Because seeing Adam Rose come out with that beard, I was like, oh, my God, he looked like he just came from a party. Like, he's just like, oh, I got to wrestle now. Oh.
So you like it?
I don't know. That's the thing. He looks legitimately hungover.
Regardless of the hungover thing, I just haven't decided if I like it or not yet.
Me neither. I feel like he does look a bit like me now, and because I'm a bit self-loathing, I may hate it. So I'm not sure. All I know is that it's interesting, and hopefully this means that they're going to do something with them, because I will admit, I would have liked Adam Rose and Heath Slater. I feel like they would have done a nice, you know, they would have been nice together in the ring. But
apparently, Maddie is informing me, because I haven't kept track of the show anymore, the bunny died on the JBL and Cole show recently. And I assume this is continuity, because Slater was a character on the JBL and Cole show, too,
right.
As Clem Layfield, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yes, that is true.
But, wow, that's interesting. Does his death have anything to do with Clem's character? Because that would be kind of funny, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yes, but I do believe that Ryder was in the suit, because I just have a
well,
thick...
I thought it was Ryder at first, because of the
mm-hmm.
lack of flexibility.
Right.
I just thought Justin would be jumping higher. But
that's what I'm saying. I have the hopes. I mean, just the complete hope. Please, you know, don't destroy my hope, WWE, that Zack Ryder was in the suit. They went backstage. Commercial hit. They come back, and it was Zack Ryder out of the suit against Rusev.
But you can look at his ass, and you see a bunny tail if you look in close, and you think, damn it, Zack didn't finish changing.
Yes, exactly. You know? And it played such a pivotal part later on during the night. No, but seriously, it would just, you know. I think that was also a problem, too, if you want to bring up problems with Rusev, you know, because that, another promo, which just, another segment, where they know, all right, we need to, you know, have Henry come out, so we're just going to send out some jobber. Where it's just, you could, you know, you could be doing a lot with Rusev.
Zach.
I mean, at least, you know, at least we're getting jobbers of different cultures now, but I think it's a huge issue that we could have, and I know how you feel about Rusev, but how, like, it still would have been nice, although I do like that Cesaro is getting put in the place of Rusev, but it still would have been nice to at least have Adam upgraded, where it's just, if you're not going, you know, because it looks like you're sort of putting Rusev against Mark Henry now, which is something, at least, you know, not just... you know, one like Sin Cara or Zack Ryder, the people who they've pushed as jobbers. But it's still a huge issue because I want him to at least try to go for gold. I mean, if you're going to be jobbing people for this long, you're getting people to, you know, job to help you look so good, and, you know, either take him off TV and say that he, you know, and have Lana do a thing where he's too good for television, right? Or he's too good for American television anymore. Or, you know, and have him, like, work on his in-ring stuff outside of television, right? Or you give him the gold. Like, there's no reason to keep him in this purgatory in a way where it's just Zack Ryder has currently lost to Alexander Rusev 8 times, you know, every single time that they've ever, you
know. Yeah, and what I think bothers me about this, I think they're running basically the same angle where it's like America versus Russia again.
Yeah.
And it bothers me on two counts. One, because we already had this, and it kind of hurts to know that America's probably going to lose again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not that patriotic, but when Swagger's facing Rusev, I mean, there's just a little element of like, yeah, go America, right? You know, I live here,
exactly.
I was born and raised. So we already have this with the guy who is the all-American American. So, yeah, it makes sense for him to do the America versus Russia thing, right? And
right.
Now immediately, Mark Henry, I mean, just, yes, he was an Olympian for America before, but it's just
yeah.
like he just remembered, man, I really love America. And that
like,
guy
you know?
Doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hurt him. And it's just like, well, what's really going on? Because Henry's probably going to get fed to Rusev, and then it's going to suck because I'm going to sit here like, wait, 2 pay-per-views in a row, you basically sat there and been like, Russia is dominant over America. And it's
yeah.
technically 3 because, you know, Swagger didn't win the first match against Rusev
yeah.
either.
Yeah, it would be very. It's very upsetting because I see it as a way to, you know, it's like, oh, we're, because the thing is, okay, right? Let's say we end up having Mark Henry win. That's a huge problem because Jack Swagger is at least younger than Henry. You know, there's no reason why we need to be giving Mark Henry credible wins for America.
Correct.
Right? So, but then when he loses, it's just Rusev is all powerful. And it's just, all right, well, where does Rusev go next? Because according to booking, nowhere.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, the logical step, I assume, after beating Mark Henry would be to challenge for the mid-card title.
I hope so.
I understand what you're saying. I do think that's what they'll do. Like after the Henry thing, then he'll be involved in probably, I'm feeling, the U.S. title scene.
Of course.
If not,
you know,
if depending on if Cesaro wins or not, because I think Sheamus has defended it already, which means he gets a rematch clause. So we'd have, you know, Cesaro, Sheamus again.
That's the thing, where I would be okay with Cesaro winning, Sheamus challenging for it again, and Rusev going, excuse me, you know, Lana going, excuse me, you're all stupid, you know, you're all stupid Americans. Cesaro, you're technically not American, but you're also kind of, you know what I mean, like you've immigrated here and you're with that We the People stuff, we don't like you, you know? And if Rusev doesn't get pinned, he didn't lose. So he can go on with, regardless of who wins, either Sheamus or Cesaro, that match. Rusev doesn't have to get pinned. Therefore, he didn't lose. Therefore, he can go about his business being undefeated, blah, blah, blah. Right?
I wouldn't mind a triple threat at the next pay-per-view of, like, a whole Sheamus, Cesaro, Rusev thing. Because I could sit there and Sheamus would just be like, you know, normally I do the fight, but, like, you know, I do the one-on-one. But Sheamus loves to fight. So he wouldn't turn down a triple threat. And, you know, it would work out.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, anyway, and, but yeah, so moving on, we have to be quick, but we can also complain as much as we want to. Stephanie and Brie and Nikki and Paige and AJ and Trish Stratus and Lita and Sable.
Let's see what you got here.
Me? You're telling me to start this off?
Go ahead.
Why not? So there were many. So yes, we enjoy what Nikki Bella is doing, you know, because again, it is some nice heel work. I can understand why throwing Nikki into a Divas title match is, like, I understand the whole, like, oh, well, storyline, you know what I mean? You do good things for the authority's going to do the good things for you. The problem is that as we mentioned earlier, WWE doesn't know how to write, multiple characters to do things at once. You can tell who's going to be the main, you know, people in that promo, right? And with that, you know, with the fact that clearly, you know, Nikki and Brie and Stephanie were the main people in that promo, the issue becomes, all right, are you basically engulfing the other Divas promo, the other Divas, you know, story into yours? And the fact that we have Jerry Springer appearing next week really drives it home to where it's just, all right, so we're probably dropping or just engulfing Paige and AJ into this story. And it's sad because we mentioned earlier and on other episodes, we would like Fatal 4-Ways and Triple Threats for Night of Champions because there's so many stories going on right now that it would be nice to kind of meld a few together in smart, logical ways. And this was logical, but I don't think it was smart in how it was done.
Okay. First of all, apparently Clem, JBL, and Zeb Coulter blew up the bunny in Mr. McMahon's lip. That sounds incredible.
In Mr. McMahon's limo.
The one that killed Mr. McMahon. Now, so that being said. So
oh, my
said,
God. Right.
I really like Paige and AJ. I like. Now, of course, I worship Paige on a different kind of weird level. But, you
but
know,
not
AJ
a,
is, of course. You know,
but
really,
on a wrestling level.
Yeah. You know, AJ is really, really excellent. At just the little things. And that's not some kind of joke because she's short. She is just, from the whole, hi, boss lady, to the facial expressions, to the way that she conducts herself in-ring, out of the ring. I mean, everything that she does is superb.
Right.
And then, you know, on the other end, you have the young up-and-comer with Paige, where she's not perfect, but she's still having fun with these things. I mean, I love the whole Bloody Diva Champion line. I loved that.
You know what I loved? I loved when Nikki was getting a bit too close. And Paige's face was like, ooh. And I just sat there and I went, this is nice. This is gold. Like, Paige,
yeah, no,
because
she's getting that stuff too. Like, I
yeah.
think she's with the right crowd in terms of AJ, where she's picking up a lot of the good things. And I think Maddie doesn't think she cuts a good promo. And I do. I think that she's actually very good, and she's making improvements in that area. And, of
I think
course,
they're just,
she's talented.
I'll say this much, and I'll say this much to, you know, to help out Maddie. I think that maybe she isn't being given the right directions because, you know,
no,
I think
they
that she
know
could...
what the fuck they were doing with her.
That's the problem. Where, I mean, you know, you have a few things tonight and a few things that have happened recently that have infuriated me where you had them say tonight, oh, does everyone skip? And it's upsetting because in my head it's like, you guys made her do that. Obviously you can't acknowledge that on air, but it's like, you guys made her do that, you pieces of shit, right? She didn't have to skip. She didn't have to.
No,
you know.
I enjoy that, by the way. I actually think it's funny. But
and,
you know,
and
oh, by
one
the way.
More thing, though. One more. Oh, sorry, you go.
No, on Snapchat. After
right.
after Raw, WWE's mm-hmm. Snapchat had a on their story something of Paige, and she just kind of skipped with the title, and she's like, still the Divas Champion. And I just kind of laugh. I'm like, yeah, she's right.
That is nice. But the one thing that I wanted to mention, too, is that recently on SmackDown, instead of trying to go with this, oh, yeah, so are they trying to out-crazy each other because neither one is crazy? Or, like, it seems like they've completely abandoned that. On SmackDown, during a match, they actually asked each other on commentary, which one do you think is crazier?
Okay.
Now, thankfully, no one watches SmackDown, but it was infuriating. Because they actually said that question, which one do you think is crazier? It's just, what happened to the fact that people can, you know, try to manipulate each other? Like, and it's funny, too, by the way, because they said, well, you know, I think AJ is manipulating Paige, and, you know, and she's also quite crazy. Where they're acknowledging the fact that they're manipulating each other, but they still have to be crazy. Because heaven forbid that women aren't crazy.
It's still really stupid.
But I think that's what
that...
it is.
The segment was really weird in some ways for me, too, because the music was odd. I liked, by the way, Steph shutting down the whole, like, nope, sorry, that music is for Nikki Bella.
That was beautiful.
And that was great. So
yes.
I think I said this to you before. Paige and AJ and Steph did their thing for me. I really didn't like the Bellas there. I liked Nikki in terms of how much I've liked her recently, yeah?
Right.
But I can't wrap my head around the feud as much as I want to.
Yeah.
And Steph makes it much more interesting to me, I'll be honest. And I kind of like the whole merging with the Paige-AJ thing, because to be honest, and this isn't Paige and AJ's fault, Paige and AJ's feud needed something like this. Because
fair enough. That is
of
quite
the
true.
Fact that they have been booked like shit.
That
so
is completely
that's cool,
true.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
So I sit there and I'm like, all right, that's great. And I'm wondering what's going to happen now, because Night of Champions, like, do we get a... Fatal four-way? Do we get a triple threat? Do we get the two matches first? Because, see, the thing is, I first thought, hey, fatal four-way, right? But
right.
Brie hasn't done anything to warrant the title shot. Neither has Nikki, but, you know, she was handed it by the authority because she's on their side.
Yeah, no, the only reason why you could possibly in any way award her a title shot is for the simple fact that Nikki will say, the point for me having Brie in this ring, because she tries to get Stephanie to do it, the point isn't, you know, me having Brie in this ring and, you know, her getting the title, whatever. The point is me beating the hell out of her for all the things that she's done to me. It's the fact that I know in my heart that even though she's a bad person, she doesn't have the conviction to actually win this title.
No,
she's
not going to beat Brie Bella. She's going to beat Brie Bella's ass.
I was thinking that in my head, but I don't want them to say that on air.
Me neither, because it's still a stupid line.
Yes.
But, yeah, so
and
I
also,
mean, the segment wasn't bad. I just...
Yeah, no. And also
again,
the fact, by the way...
kind of clusterfucky.
It was. And the line wouldn't be that. It would be, I'm going to beat Brie Bella's ass! You didn't
I
see my finger.
She died in the womb. I still laugh at how bad that delivery was.
I wish you die in the womb!
It kind of makes me shudder, where I'm like, look, I know I'm no freaking Leonardo DiCaprio / Matt Damon people that I worship. You know, I mean, I'm not even you here, but that delivery was
I'll
just...
say this. You want to know what made me shiver? Not even in anticipation, actually. I was shivering in anticipation for fear. The fact that they chanted CM Punk relatively loudly.
Yeah, that's still really, really.
And it's upsetting because you can tell that they were not doing it with any malice whatsoever. Like, it's just a way of saying, like, CM Punk, CM Punk, see, I know things. Look at me on television. I know things. Oh, my God. Like, crying, like, this is the most I'll ever do in my life. Like, it's just like, guys, shut the hell up. And girls, I'm sorry, let's not discriminate here. Guys and girls in the audience and everyone else who identifies with anything else, shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one, you don't need to, like, oh, my God, like, I love, how our fellow co-host, you know, not usually on Raws, but on some of our other shows, Ashley Colpan, has repeatedly shut down people when the three of us have gone to live events.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing of beauty. It's art. She's an artist. The way she can just shut people down immediately. It's gold. Anyway, point is that we need more of that in general. So any wrestling fans listening who might be going to shows soon or who know people who do this, shut them down immediately. You know, just find ways of talking to the person next to you and going, hey, that's not cool. Don't be that person.
No,
because it's complete
it's just, again, AJ Punk is okay.
Yeah.
Stop chanting CM Punk. I mean, I miss
exactly.
him as much as you guys do, probably more, honestly. And
yeah,
I know it's really not the cool thing
yeah.
to do, especially during those segments, because AJ and Paige are really over. And
yeah.
especially AJ. She's so over. And
yeah.
just don't ruin that. Please don't ruin
and,
that.
And she's doing everything right. I mean, they gave her a line that, and she delivered it perfectly, calling attention to the fact that they've stopped caring about contracts.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, just saying, hey, so I don't know, I'm sure you guys might not understand how number one contenderships work, but, like, you know, it was wonderful because, like, yeah, you know, for some reason, and, yeah, you can argue it's because of the authority, they're stopped, you know, they don't care, like, you know, the authority, but still, it's just really funny how it's just, you know, how let's say Heath Slater will just pop up here and all of a sudden, you know, make a good impression on Triple H. And Triple H will go, you know what? He has long hair like I used to. Kind of the same color, too. That should be our next WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone looks at him and goes, but Hunter, you know, Randy Orton, John Cena. I mean, there's so many people we could put. Nope, Heath Slater should be our next champion. Book it tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit there and you're like, I don't think so. But anyway, we have to go quick. But what I would like to say is I don't know if this was supposed to make me laugh or not, but when Nikki said that AJ and Paige sounded like two immature girls, I lost it because I really cracked up. Like, it reminded me of what I mentioned before, where it's, Marty Jannetty was trying to run away from Shawn
yeah,
Michaels.
No, that sounded, it was a very good heel line. Because you sit there
yeah.
and you're like, pot calling the kettle black? But it's really a heel thing to do. So that
yes.
was good.
Yes. Bray's promo was short but sweet, I feel. It didn't need to say a lot because hopefully, if they're smart, Bray's going to win in a steel cage match next week.
That was an interesting development, and I'm going to see what happens there.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where we wanted it to happen at Night of Champions, but sadly, I think it's a lot harder to – it was easier to meld in Rusev and anyone else into title shots, not Bray and Jericho. So – if this and same thing with Randy Orton and Roman Reigns, where it's not easy to just meld them into title shots that aren't in the main title picture. So if you're going to make these matches be, you know, fine, you make them before Night of Champions. Fair enough. What else can you do, you know? And you can hopefully build something else in the meantime maybe, or just put them in meaningful things. Either way, it's nice. It's happening. And we have Goldust versus Jimmy Uso, which – wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it's another interesting development.
It was funny for me because the beginning I didn't like at all because the Usos didn't let them finish their apology. I mean, I know they're going to be heels.
No, you don't understand. See, this is why you should watch SmackDown. I'm sorry that I shut you down like that, but hear me out. They mentioned it on commentary, but they didn't show clips. On SmackDown, the Goldust and Stardust apologized. The Usos accepted. They had another match. Cody Rhodes lost, which is horseshit, by the way. Cody Rhodes lost. Both
fucking
he and
hell.
Goldust looked at each other and said, fuck these guys, and they beat the shit out of the Usos to the point where they were destroying Jey Uso's leg.
That's fun.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy? Jey? Let me look at my notes again. The
Jimmy
USO
was the one who lost.
Oh, then Jay had the leg thing. Yeah, they were beating the crap out of Jay's
leg. I'm learning, by the way, because they got the other one got a shoulder tattoo now, too. So you actually have to tell them apart by their
face
paint. I'm not trying to be a dick.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I noticed which one had the leg thing. But tonight I think he had it covered up because on SmackDown he had it with white tape on his leg. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's the problem.
Okay, where... they didn't even mention that, and it kind of ticks me off. Because
they did mention it.
But it was a throwaway line, wasn't it?
That's the problem. They mentioned it via commentary, so I know you sometimes like to watch your TV, you know, a bit lower, so you might not have picked up on the fact that, also the fact that it's commentary, so many people phase them out, which is a huge issue because I can understand why you would.
I actually had it loud today and I phased them out, I'm being honest with you.
That's what I'm saying, which is fine, because people do that, but the problem is that, you know, they actually sometimes do have interesting things to say. So yeah, to you, that was, I'll bring the word back, everyone, that was a complete cold open. So to you,
oh fuck you.
Yeah. So to you, it felt like, you know, it was just like, oh, the Usos were just being dickbags. Like they didn't even let them finish the apology. They just started beating up on on Goldust and Stardust. It's like, well, on SmackDown, that's why I think there should be a brand split, because if you miss SmackDown and they don't care about showing you that clip, it's a throwaway line. So yeah, some people are gonna sit there and they're gonna be like, oh, that was mean of the Usos to do. Like, you know. But it was not in any way, shape, or form. What was mean was that, you know, Cody lost on SmackDown, and then Goldust wins tonight. That was pretty fucking mean.
It's still kind of ass backwards. I'm sorry. It's just...
I hate to say this, but I think Goldust is one of the bookers, or he's on, like, I don't think Gold... Like, I think even if Goldust wasn't wrestling, he still works backstage with them. So I have the strangest feeling, not like he's sabotaging his brother, but we've said this before on air. We were saying how we think that people working in the back, because they've worked, you know, they knew Cody, because, you know, obviously everyone in the back, they're past wrestlers, usually. You know, not usually. All the bookers are pretty much past wrestlers. So they obviously knew Cody when he was young, so they might still think of him as that green little boy, you know? And it's like, no. You know, so I think maybe with someone like Goldust in the back, I'm not saying that he's getting preferential treatment, but what I'm saying is that it might be a situation of like, you know, yeah, like which one are you going to give it to? The veteran or, you know, or the new kid? It's like, he's not the new kid anymore. Veteran, you know, at this point in someone's career,
isn't
like John Cena.
Isn't Cody a 7-year veteran?
That's what I'm saying. Like, Cody's been around for a while now where he's not.
Cody's a 7-year veteran, I think.
I thought he was more than that. I thought 8, but you know what? Sure, probably 7.
Matt,
then again, I'll say this much. He might have you might be right because you're thinking 7 on TV, but I'm sure he's been with Ohio Valley Wrestling a bit longer.
Oh yeah. I'm thinking 7 with WWE television.
Exactly. Like, and that's the problem where he's been doing this for so long that it's pretty shitty where it's like, "Well, yeah, he's the inexperienced one." No, you know what I mean? That's like saying that it's like, well, I mean, if you're to put John Cena and Hulk Hogan in the tag team, I wonder who's going to take the pin. Yeah, I wonder who. That's sarcasm, right? No,
John.
I mean, it would obviously have to be John Cena.
John needs to take the pin.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you know what, fuck it. John needs to tap out.
John needs to tap out as a joke. Like during a John Cena heel turn. He needs to just, like, the second someone just, like, you know, punches him in the face, he's like, I give up, oh, this is so too, you know, this is too much, fuck all of you, and just flips everyone off. That's, you know what's funny? That was obviously a complete joke. That was a complete joke, but I feel like that's what the internet would want his heel turn to be. Like, not even like a, oh, let's give him some character depth heel turn. It's like, nope, if John Cena isn't punching children in the face, then I won't be happy. Real children, not actors.
Cool.
But anyway, moving on. By the way, before we move on, they're really good heels, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, totally agree.
Yes. And thankfully, they haven't really been focusing on their weirdness, which is really nice. Anyway, moving on. Not much to mention with the main event. Sadly, we have to, you know, go soon, but really not much to mention. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It was very weird. It was a different combination when you kind of throw in a guy like Jericho. But, I mean, it isn't completely new. And, of course, it's a complete disrespect to the Divas when we have their match be 2 minutes long with a one-minute beat-up, probably less than 1 minute, beat-up afterwards. And then this match ran for 20 minutes.
Well,
I think it's a complete disgrace.
You were right about Cody Rhodes. 8 years from OVW, for me, 7 years on television. He debuted
right.
with Hardcore Holly. I remember that one.
Yeah, he did.
Now, that being said, all right, so the main event was fun for me because I thought Cena was really entertaining to watch not get into the match.
Yeah, just, come on, pick me. It's like, no, John,
yeah,
we
no,
choose
I
you
really
last
loved
for
that.
Dodgeball.
And when Roman tagged Jericho, I
yeah.
laughed so hard. I laughed out
yeah.
loud because Cena was just like, what the fuck? And the crowd was like, but it was funny to me. And
yeah.
so what pissed me off, though, and it's the obvious, first off, Cena going like a fucking petulant child after Triple H. Like, see, I earned my match. Dude, you had like 30 seconds of match time. No, you didn't earn your match. And secondly, freaking the Rollins thing. That's really, really... That was
hilarious to me. Because as we mentioned before, John Cena is seeming more and more and more like a video game, where video game logic dictates that you could actually do that to someone, like, or with the, in the video game, it's with the giant shove. Satish and I are still on 13, so we don't know if there's
right.
like a giant kick that you can use to the gut now that pushes people away violently. But with us is the giant push. So it's just like, John Cena gets the giant push. He had a finisher stored because, I don't know about in new games, but I know in the older, because I don't really do a lot of tag team, standard tag team matches in the new games. But back in Here Comes the Pain, your character can gain the stuff to get up to a finisher or two or three finishers just by standing there and doing nothing, right? Your tag team partner. So John waited there till he got a finisher, and he used one on Kane, and it was just really funny. But I'm not saying funny as in like, oh, God, I would love to see this more. Funny just like, oh, my God, this is so bad.
Yeah,
the
he
room.
Used one on Kane, and then he used one on Rollins. On
the room is how I described it. Yeah.
But it was so bad.
The room.
Why? Why
no
did
reason.
He need to randomly F you Rollins onto the announcer's table?
Did not.
After they've already booked him so weak, which sucks, because he's so talented.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue, and... And it's like, it sucks because it's not even that, I can argue that he hasn't been booked the worst, but the problem is that, yeah, you now put him against John Cena and you do this to him. I would hope for a Rollins cash in and win, honestly, at Night of Champions now. Where not even saying that John Cena wins or loses, just something happens where it's just John Cena is completely destroyed, Lesnar is also pretty hurt too or something, and we end up just having, Rollins cash in, honestly, because... It's a little bit, because they, like you said, they've made him kind of look like shit.
No, yeah,
and
they
the
do
rule.
Usually book the Money in the Bank winner like shit. But,
exactly.
Outside of the Damian Sandow thing, they're supposed to win,
Yeah.
So this is big because Rollins needs to win now. Like, not Night of Champions. It would be cool. But, he needs to win. Because
something.
You're booking him like shit. So he needs to win his Money in the Bank cash in whenever it is.
Yes, because we understand that, not everyone can win everything, obviously. But, and you can't protect everyone from you can't just make everyone get, disqualifications and stuff. But after a while, there's just a lot of guys that are being left out in the cold. And, that you can have an Attitude Era type thing where we have two guys at the top or three guys at the top and everyone else is interchangeable. You have that kind of talent. You really do. So... you don't necessarily have to do what you've done in the past, which is upsetting because we're still making Reigns go to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But anyway, so sadly, we have to go. On a better note, WWE Network is having its Attitude Era week, so hopefully they'll upload those damn Attitude Era episodes that they haven't been.
Finally.
I mean, good note? Yeah. And,
great.
Of course, we have more shows to do. We always have more shows to do. Where do you find our shows? Facebook. Those guys on the radio, you like us on Facebook, and you will see what shows we post about. Also, we have a Twitter, Those Guys Radio. You go on our Twitter, you will also see some of our newer shows that we do, and you will see funny cat pictures and more. Also, we have a Gmail, thoseguysontheradio at gmail.com. You can message us there about show ideas that you would like to propose, and also different, you know, promotional opportunities. We, you know, advertise with us. We can talk about you on our show. Good
stuff.
Sounds
about right.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, again, we would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Anything else?
No, I think we covered everything.
Hallelujah.
Well
done.
I'm sorry. I was so happy that we covered everything.
I'm not letting
but I mean,
you
now,
on board again. I'm really not. Like, every time I give you this power, you really make me sit there and think, why did I let Matt do this?
But, I mean, now that we're here.
Hallelujah.
You're not...
Hallelujah.